You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405 on this beautiful morning that might turn into rain a little bit later, but right now we're enjoying the sunshine. We have a wonderful guest today. We talked to Brenda Williams, who does a lot of work helping companies become much more emotionally savvy. So welcome, Brenda, to the Pilgrim on the 405.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
So tell us, Brenda, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I have over 25 years in the business world, and at one point I said I wanted to follow my purpose. Somebody asked me on the beach in Cancun, what's your passion in life? What's your purpose? Not something they usually ask where I'm from. And I went on a quest. I went on a journey of self-discovery and started doing the work that I share today on myself, and realized that sharing that message and helping people create more awareness, more emotional intelligence, was really my passion, coaching people.
So tell me, what have been the breakthroughs for you on your path toward being able to coach people successfully?
Well, I always say I try to practice what I preach. Mm-hmm. And emotional intelligence is not always the easiest thing to practice. It takes effort. And I come from Rhode Island, where the loud Italians and the crazy Irish people live. Anybody out there know someone from back east?
You remember West Side Story? And you remember that wonderful little interlude there with Officer Krupke? Well, we're learning in Laguna Beach. It's the Laguna Beach Chamber Singers. We are going to present that in May. That's one of the things we're doing. And so we've got to get away from the wonderful, rich vocal sound in Southern California, kind of laid back into that rough Rhode Island, New York, Boston way of talking to each other. Doesn't have a whole lot of emotional intelligence to it.
That's true. Where I grew up, it was an unfiltered world.
Yes.
And when I moved out to the West Coast, I learned that communication didn't always work so well.
Not the same way, right?
So,
what do you mean you got offended? I was just talking to you and you were in the way.
Just being direct and to the point.
That's right.
What's the problem?
Direct and to the point, absolutely. Yes. So what have you learned about that?
Well, I've learned that we all are unique individuals. We come from different upbringings, different environments. We've all learned to communicate from the surroundings that we grew up in. And sometimes that was positive and sometimes not so much. However, I have not met anyone yet that grew up in a perfect, emotionally intelligent household with superb communication. It's something that is learned.
Well, it's learned, and in learning, would you say it's a set of techniques for communication, or is it filling in the missing spaces or removing some of the scars?
All of the above. Uh-huh. You know, I've broken it down into three different areas. First, your mindset, understanding how you think about people and situations. That really relates to your emotions. Secondly, it's understanding the four different communication styles and behavior styles, because everybody's different from us. Mm-hmm. And when you can understand yourself and others and modify your approach, life gets easier. And last but not least, the emotional intelligence. And in the business world, it's extremely important to have business emotional intelligence in order to be successful and not have that stress that people live with quite often.
So mindset, the four styles, and emotional intelligence.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about mindset.
Well, I like to call it mindset for success. You know, you asked me what's made me a successful coach. And I think when I started my business as an entrepreneur, I was going to be a coach. And that was my passion. But I quickly learned that once you start coaching people, you discover their strengths and their areas that they might want to improve upon. And I started looking at all of the challenges that I see with people and within companies and teams, as well as individuals and even great successful leaders. And it came down to these three things: the mindset, how you think. I used to say I like to help people communicate better from the boardroom to the bedroom. And people would say, what do you mean by that? And I said, your first thought of the day when you wake up. Are you that positive person that wakes up with your attitude of gratitude? Most people, they wake up in the morning, I'm tired, I ache, I got to get on the freeway. It takes conscious effort to have that positive mindset. Not to mention when you do get on that freeway, right? 2 hours of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work on that positive mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that mindset will directly affect your emotions for the day and how you react to people and situations around you. So I help people become consciously aware of how they think, how they react, and what their triggers might be.
I found that a lot of our issues, when we think about problems or issues, barriers, we tend to think that they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality is that going to war to change the things out there really doesn't give us the peace that we're looking for.
Very true.
It really is getting changed in here. And once we change it in here, it's amazing how many of those problems go away. And the ones that are out there become a lot easier to solve.
Be the change that you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of what I talk to in my energy leadership practice. It's about asking yourself how you're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And many of my clients will come to me pointing the finger outward, blaming mm-hmm. others for all of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
And once I start coaching them, they start to see their hidden roadblocks and their hidden obstacles of what they might be doing or saying or how they're reacting and what they could do differently mm-hmm. to change their results.
So how we show up is important. I have found that many times the problems that people experience are there because of their expectations, because of their, well, we could call it prejudice. I mean, it's prejudging, but prejudice is so colored with all the various isms around that prejudice is much too loaded a word for it. It really has to do with what I'm expecting the world to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me, at least my experience and my experience with other people, is the world tends to appear the way I expect it to be. What do you think?
That's interesting. I think it goes back to, you know, I talked earlier with you about discommunication mm-hmm. and the four behavior styles, which mm-hmm. is the second program I'm very passionate about. And it comes down to we all think and do things in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the direct person in DISC is very, can be dominant, can be very to the point, very focused on the task,
mm-hmm.
and not as people friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, they think they're doing a great job. And a lot of top leaders are D's in DISC. And they're dominant. They get things done. They get results. They're the ones that you really want on your team when you're driving a project forward. But they forget about their people skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's important to recognize that we're all unique individuals and that we think and function in our own unique way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start studying that and discovering those other people in the four corners, and you learn to modify your approach because you understand what's important to them, what makes them tick, and most importantly, you stop taking things personally.
Well, yes. I grew up in business. The last 18 years, I was involved with a group that would get together every quarter in Baltimore, and there were about 200 people there. And I came away every time thinking, oh, my goodness, in order to succeed in this business, you have to be a D, right?
Mm.
Well, that's not my style, but I can sure try it, and I could put it on,
uh-huh.
just like you can put on boxing gloves, and I would do that. And then when I spoke to my coach about it, and he said, oh, you're missing something here.
Mm-hmm.
He said the reason that you think that it takes a D to be successful is because it's the D's who are up there concerned about their success, trying to get attention,
mm-hmm.
so they can reify, they can have an acceptance of their own success.
Mm-hmm.
He said the S's, who are also very successful, and he pointed out four or five to me, mm-hmm. that I understood were very successful.
Right.
He said you'll never see them on the stage.
Yes, not usually.
And then when I read Built to Last,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't the D's who led the great companies. It was the S's who had worked their way gently, gently, rowing their boat downstream instead of fighting it and trying to row upstream. And they were the ones who built the company with values. They had relationships all along the way, and they were there for the long haul.
Yes, and the S's, for those that do not know, are the steady, stable supporters. They're the people that really like to help others,
mm-hmm.
and go the extra mile, mm-hmm. to support people. They're planners, they're loyal, they stick, mm-hmm. around. And when you look at a great leader, someone who's been extremely successful, without the uphill battle and stress, mm-hmm. and like you said, the fight to move forward,
mm-hmm.
they're usually the ones that learn how to support their people.
Well, I wouldn't say usually. That's their lifeblood, is supporting people.
Yes.
And that's what allows them to be who they are. In the entrepreneurial operating system for the 250 people around the world who are teaching this system, and you mentioned Robin Osborne, a good friend of both of ours, core values. One of the core values is grow or die, which is obviously a big D,
mm-hmm.
kind of value. And another one is help first. And
mm-hmm.
help first is, to me, the ultimate S value, is always helping first, because it's like the book, The Go-Giver. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's the giving that brings the return. And for the S, at least in my experience, for the S, the giving itself is the return already.
Mm-hmm.
That is the joy.
Oh, absolutely.
And the return on that is a sidelight. It's graciously accepted, but doesn't have to be there for the joy of the giving.
True. However, you're going to have D's and you're going to have S's.
Absolutely.
In the world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so how do you learn to work with them most effectively? And if you are one or the other, when does it benefit you to be in each corner?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's benefits, advantages, and disadvantages to both, all four corners. And sometimes the D needs to drive things forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in an emergency situation, they don't have time to be the helpful, loving, supportive person. So there's times when being a D is very, very valuable. They're some of my favorite clients because they are so good at taking action, and they only need slight modifications to their behavior and their people skills to care about others, to give back, to coach, to mentor. And it's something that doesn't always come natural because they like to work with fast pace, results, results, results. Anybody that takes a slower pace, a more methodical pace, can frustrate them. And sometimes S's are more methodical in what they do. Benefit, they don't make as many mistakes.
Well, one of the things that I find with the entrepreneurial operating system, and the reason that I did not, and this was a self-conscious choice, not to become a coach.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's plenty of great coaches, and they work with individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And their leverage is really helping that individual become more aware, more functional,
mm-hmm.
Accomplish more, and have greater sense of peace. What I find in the entrepreneurial operating system, neither better nor worse, but simply my calling,
mm-hmm.
is working with the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so my answer, now, yes, I do have a raging D who is seeking therapy. I mean, there's no question about that. And he understands it, and he brought it up. At the same time, it's the organization. What I find is you want to have D's, I's, and S's, and C's in the organization itself. And that's part of the way of balancing this out, so that there are those forward-looking people who are 20 miles ahead, looking out. They're 20 years ahead, looking out. At the same time, you have the S's who are listening. And when they learn to listen before they speak, and they learn to allow that to come over, you know, just like a wave to come over them, and then to ask the questions about, well, how will our people get there?
Yes.
How do we communicate that with each other? That helps what we call a visionary, very often is a D, to get the message out, to get the vision out onto the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often they're playing what we call the thump-thump game. If I were to give you a list of 100 songs like Row, Row, Row Your Boat and Happy Birthday and simple songs, like give you a list of 100 and we both have the list, but I can only thump on my chest or on the test, the rhythm, and you're supposed to guess it, you're probably not going to get a lot of them. Very often that's what happens with the D or the visionary. They're thumping and they expect that because they heard the music, they heard it perfectly sung in their heads, and they're communicating it by thumping. They're expecting everybody else to get it, and nobody else gets it. They're trying to walk around on eggshells to get it to happen, but they don't know what it is. So helping them to come up with an organizational pattern so they can share that, and they can then get on the same page so they know exactly where they're going. It's not only, I mean, certainly they haven't just acceded to it, but they have agreed that this is the direction we're going, and this is how we're going to get there. Then all of those the various contributions from D's and I's and S's and C's, that they can then help move that company forward. That's why I get excited about the system.
Well, and I agree. You mentioned it's an organizational thing. When I first started out, I started out thinking I would just coach. But it quickly turned into speaking and training to teach the skills. Because one person can change, but that won't change an entire organization or a team.
Right.
So when you can get everybody with a common methodology, a common thought pattern, in a positive mindset, with more compassion and empathy, and most importantly, valuing and respecting and appreciating that we're all different. So what I find is when I teach just communication inside organizations, people that might have been frustrated with each other or maybe had rifts or some conflict going on end up having a little more patience and more understanding of why people do the things they do. And top that with the business emotional intelligence, how people actually make their decisions. What influences one person versus another? How do you motivate people to do things? And back to the DISC, they all blend together because what motivates a D is different than what motivates an S. So the D is about results and the S is about relationship.
Absolutely. I remember fondly working with a fellow who was very clearly a D, and when it came time to talking about what we wanted to do, his question was, well, what kind of car do you want, and where do you want to go on vacation, and all of these big D kinds of motivation. And for me, it was, it's not my, that doesn't turn me on. That's not what I'm looking for.
Right. What's important to you?
Well, what's important to me is seeing organizations get what they want, seeing business leaders get what they want, and that is so magic. And it, for me, it's like blue lens glasses. I can see it, using those glasses. Every place I turn, it's people who are either getting what they want or they're not getting what they want as a business organization. And growing up as a child, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. My great uncle had this great idea. Have you ever heard of a Napa store, right, for automotive parts?
Yeah.
Well, he sold auto parts in the mid-20s, 20s back then,
uh-huh,
20s.
Uh-huh.
And his territory was Texas. So that meant he went all around Texas. It took him about a year to make the trip. And so he did two or three or four of those trips. He lived in Dallas and moved all the way around. And then he finally said, you know, there's this place down in South Texas called the Rio Grande Valley. He said, I could go down there and I can create a warehouse, which he did, called Grindel Sales. Mm-hmm. His name was Laura Grindel. And then he said, and I will call my brothers and my brothers-in-law from Indianapolis. I'll ask them to come down. I will give them the Valley Auto Supply stores in 8 different towns in the Rio Grande Valley. They will buy. I will teach them how to sell auto parts, and they will buy them from Grindel Sales.
Mm-hmm.
So he was an entrepreneur putting together the Napa warehouse plan well before Napa was even thought about. But what I discovered in growing up was that in that large, extended entrepreneurial family, some people were delightedly getting what they wanted, and there were others who didn't.
Mm.
And that was always my question. How do you get, what's the difference between these two? And how do you get what you want from your business?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I struggled with that. I thought, well, not everybody around here has gone to college, so it's got to be college. So get a degree. Well, that wasn't it, because there were people in college who weren't getting what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a variety of things for 30, 40 years. And then finally, one of my clients came back to me and told me I had helped him quadruple their revenue. He got bought up by a Boston roll-up. He was a local network management company. And so he came back a year later to me and he said, Will, they bought not only me, but 3 other companies just like me. There's 60 people in the organization now. Mm-hmm. I'm the general manager and the VP. We're using this thing called EOS. And Mark Winters in Dallas is teaching us how to do it. And he said, this is you. This is what you've been struggling for all of your life. So that afternoon, I picked up the phone and called Gino Wickman, who started EOS.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that what caused him to do this was he saw 90 businesses when he was in Detroit helping to start the EO chapter there. And his struggle was, what's the difference between the people who are getting what they want from their business and those who don't?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when he discovered what it was like discovering gold. And he said, the difference between this gold and other gold is there's plenty to go around.
Absolutely.
So his discovery was that if you can strengthen the 6 key components of vision, people, data, issues, process, and traction, if you can get to at least 80% strong in each of those, you'll get what you want. And he said, it always works. When I discovered that, I knew this is me. That was 5 years ago, and that's been just the delight of my life, because it does use DISC. It does change people's mindsets,
mm-hmm.
and it really does help them to get on the same page so that they're moving forward, rowing in the same direction.
Absolutely.
And I'm coming to understand it's not only rowing in the same direction, but not rowing upstream, but rowing downstream.
And together.
Absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely.
Bringing people together. What you do and what I do, mm-hmm. they really blend. Because emotional intelligence and communication is part of almost everything you just mentioned mm-hmm. in your system.
Mm-hmm.
So my coaching helps people be more aware of how do they come across.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't recognize how they think and how they do things. It's not something that they've been taught or that they think about. And what I love to do when I'm working with people and with teams is to get them to recognize how they function, how they make decisions, what motivates them. If you're a team leader or leading a group of people, understanding what motivates each person on the team
mm-hmm.
and how they function is important. So for example, I work with two CSs. And the C's are the conscientious, the analytical, mm-hmm. very logical thinking, very focused on the data.
Make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah, you got to be doing it right. Yeah,
and we don't fudge on our income taxes. It's exactly right down to the penny.
And if they don't like to admit they're not doing it right either. Mm. So if you call them out on something they did wrong, that's definitely not going to motivate them.
Very true.
Whereas a D might not think anything of that. It's a fact to them. Okay, we did this right, we did this wrong. You know, not a big deal. But a C does not like to do anything wrong.
Do you find that C's tend to do a lot of talking to make sure that they are completely understood and everything, every I is dotted and every T is crossed?
Absolutely.
I have seen that to be the case, and it gets so frustrating for the rest of the team. Just get to the point, please.
It's fun. That's when a team understands each other. Mm. You know, I do group and team reports where everybody gets to understand which corner they're in mm-hmm. and why they do the things they do. And so I get to see this play out in my office. And when I see the C's, and they can frustrate me because I'm more of an ID, mm-hmm. and when I'm in the office, sometimes a D. Very direct to the point. So I have to remind myself to slow down, to be patient. Hey, how was your weekend? What did you do last night? Because my mindset is to just jump into getting results.
Right.
But the C's mindset is, well, how will we do that? How would that happen? They got to do a lot of research, a lot of analyzing. They got to think about it. They're going to ask a lot of questions. And it can be frustrating. I would get frustrated with one of my teammates when they would ask 15 minutes of questions for a 10-minute task. So you get to a point where if you each understand where you're at, you're able to say, okay, when does it make sense to ask that many questions? Mm-hmm. You're being a C right now.
Right.
And right now, we don't need to answer all of those questions. Let's just get started on the project. And I find that when teammates understand each other and how they think and function, there's a little bit more wiggle room. They don't take things as personal. They don't get as frustrated. They have more fun with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the environment that I try to create with just communication, is a fun environment where instead of resenting or getting frustrated or impatient, you learn to be more understanding and value. Sometimes it's important to answer more of those questions and mm-hmm. slow down.
Good. Well, let me ask you, if you stick around for a little bit, and we're going to take a break, hear from one of our sponsors, and then come back, and I want to talk a little bit more about emotional intelligence and how we can work together.
Great.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
So, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405. Brenda Williams and I have been talking about how the mindset that people bring to their experiences really calls out that experience, and very often changing the mindset can, if not change the experience, can sometimes even change the reality out there, or what we call reality. And as well, we've been talking about the four styles of DISC, the D, the I, the S, and the C, and now we're going to begin to talk about emotional intelligence and how all of these techniques can help businesses in California thrive. So tell us about how, when you talk about emotional intelligence, what does that mean?
Well, I start with emotional intelligence and then take it into the business world. So for those that aren't familiar with it, I narrow it down into four corners. The first one is creating your own awareness of how your emotions show up in meetings, in the business place. Are you the one that can be frustrated, happy, sad? How's that showing up in the workplace? Secondly, how are others seeing it? How are others seeing you?
Mm-hmm.
You might not see how others see you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the social awareness is so important. Some of us might be totally in check with our own emotions and think we got it handled. But it's, what about the people around us? How are they reacting to situations? And then managing the dynamics of that relationship. Now, business emotional intelligence takes that to the next level. And it focuses on 8 critical areas that will probably tie in with everything you do in the EOS system.
Mm-hmm.
First is, how do people make decisions? And I get people to walk the scale and see how their emotions will directly affect their decision making.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating stuff.
So that's number one, how people make decisions?
Yes, on the business emotional intelligence scale, how do they make decisions?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example, because
mm-hmm.
this is important for people to know. Whether you're a team member or a leader, or a business owner, you know, understanding how people do their workload, whatever their job is, and understanding how they make decisions will be important. Some of the D's we talked about earlier are okay with risk. They like to move things forward quickly. So they're probably going to be on the far right side of decision making. Like, they want to move fast. They're not going to slow down to think about it. Sometimes mm-hmm. that gets them in trouble.
Sometimes it's like jumping in the deep into the pool and learning how to swim on the way down, right?
Absolutely. And making your mistakes along the way mm-hmm. because you didn't take time to pause and think about
it. Well, for a good D, it's not I didn't think. It's that's the way we learn.
Well, and sometimes that's true. But, you know, I was telling you earlier that I have disc happy hours with cocktails and appetizers, and I get people talking about who they really are. And after mm-hmm. a few glasses of wine, people really show up in their true self. And it was funny because I had a D and a C talking about how they make decisions. And the D said, when I make a decision, I need to make it quick. I need to move forward. And I don't care if I make a mistake. It's all about getting there quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not, if you could have seen the look on the C's face, that's exactly what they did. It was a look of horror.
Right.
Because they are the person that needs to think about it, needs to take, they're going to be on the left side of decision making.
This is the guy that's going to be put in jail, right?
They will be on the far left.
Yes.
Because they are adverse to the risk, and they want to know all of the pros and cons, all of the research, mm-hmm. all the benefits.
Well, sure.
And it's got to be the right decision.
Well, yes, and we want to know the benefits, and we also want to know the negative consequences.
Exactly.
Too. We want to have a complete sense of, now, could we start with 13.7 billion years ago with the creation of the world so we could begin to completely understand how this fits?
We need a little bit longer to talk about
that. But you know, we might have to foreshorten it, but it would be ideal if we could see everything.
True, but we can't always do that. And so what I try to do, I put tape right down the center of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, let's walk the scale. And it's fascinating to study human behavior because the people on the far left, they don't really understand how the people on the far right think.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get them to walk the scale...
You mean the wrong way.
That depends on who you're asking, right? But when they walk the scale and you get them to come a little bit closer, they start to understand how people make their decisions, what mm-hmm. makes them tick. And it helps you understand how to work more effectively on projects and the benefits of speeding up or slowing down and when it makes more sense to meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings teams together. It gets them to work together more effectively.
Oh, great. So one part of emotional intelligence is how to make decisions. What are some other ones?
Well, stress is a big one. How do people handle stress?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about stress, but you don't really understand what will stress one person out versus another. And that's important for companies to look at because people don't always walk around saying, I'm stressed out. But if they are, what's happening when they're sitting in their seat? Mm-hmm. They're not effective. And they're, I've seen people, you're talking to them, and they're, you think they're listening, and they're not, because they're stressed out about the task at hand, the project at hand. They're not comfortable with what they're given or the information that was provided, or they're even questioning their own skill set.
Or they could be bringing in a whole bag full of stress from outside the environment.
True. And what stresses one person, and this is where it's fascinating, they all tie together. The DISC have different stress factors. So when you start to understand what that looks like, well, again, walking the scale. So a C will get stressed out because they don't have all the details.
Mm-hmm.
A D will get stressed out because they're not making decisions quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to move forward. Now, we haven't talked about the I. The I is the influential person.
A lot of fun.
And they are the fun ones.
Yes.
But guess what they're not good at?
Oh, well, they're not good at making decisions. They really don't care about other people. And they haven't got a clue to what an expense report looks like.
Well, the details. They actually love people.
Yes.
But they tend to be the talkers.
Yes.
So sometimes they can come across as the ones that like to do all the talking.
Enough talking about me. Why don't you tell me about me?
But they're great salespeople.
Well, it's that when they can blend that with the ability to make decisions.
But like you made the joke about the expense sheet, right? The
yes,
reports.
Absolutely.
That's the weakness of the I. Well, they don't attention to details, reports, paperwork. They don't like that.
They want to know why am I not getting my expenses paid right now? and the C who's generally in the controller, bookkeeper, CFO spot saying, because you didn't friggin' fill out your expense report. Well, that doesn't make any difference. Here it is. Here, just give me this much.
True. Now, motivation's next on the scale.
Uh-huh.
And what motivates each of those corners is different. The I take, say, oh, all companies need salespeople, almost every company out there. Whether it's a product or a service, you're usually selling something to stay in business.
Well, somebody is going to be the salesman, or you are getting smaller.
True. So the eyes are another very, very important critical person to have on your team, but to recognize their strength is not going to be attention to details. They have great ideas, and they're going to toss out a lot of wonderful ideas. Now, two things happen there. They're going to toss out so many ideas, the other people are going to start ignoring them because there's too much. Mm-hmm. But what happens?
Well, they're all lightweights. They just come up with all these ideas, and they never follow through on anything. Why should we listen to them?
So they need someone to help them follow through.
Absolutely.
And that's how you build that awesome team.
Precisely. How many salespeople have I said, you're telling me that you can't sell, you can't find prospects because, number one, you don't know how to use LinkedIn, and number two, you don't like using it, but that's the way toward success.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question. What if you had an assistant? Oh, well, I've asked my supervisor, and they wouldn't give me an assistant. My sales manager told me that they're never going to pay for an assistant. And I said, well, that's right. But now let me ask. If you had 5 new quality leads mm-hmm. that you could close from every week, what would that do? And they begin mm-hmm. to pull out their calculators and with great frustration figure it out. And they discover there's a significant amount of money weekly that they could be bringing in. But I can't do that because I'm so busy servicing my clients. Well, have you ever thought of a virtual assistant? Well, they'll never pay for it. Wait a minute. You're going to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever considered paying for it yourself?
Yes.
And now, 40% dismiss it. But at 20% are already doing it, and the 20% who really get it, it changes their lives.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I worked in corporate America, you know, in IT consulting for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And back then, I wasn't in an entrepreneurial mindset.
Oh.
I was in a corporate job mindset,
mm-hmm.
and I would have had that mindset back then.
Well.
Now I've been an entrepreneur for several years, and I have a whole different way that I think. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. Those salespeople inside corporate America could double their income, and that can mean six figures or more. Mm-hmm. Is it worth the... And back then, we didn't have virtual assistants mm-hmm. as easily accessible as we do today.
Sure.
But it's thinking outside of the box mentality. It's figuring out a new way of thinking and doing things.
Well, it's a major shift from the time and energy management to results management. And results management is what the entrepreneur does. I don't care how long it takes or how short it takes. What I'm looking for is the results. Mm-hmm. And I don't care whether I do it or not. It's that it gets done. And changing that mindset, to me, is critical in today's... I mean, in today's world, I could learn... I could have great skill today, great knowledge in a particular area, and tomorrow it would change dramatically. And if I'm depending upon myself to cover all of that,
yeah,
I'm going to fail.
Yeah. And you know, you've got a good point, because this isn't just about, we're talking about salespeople right now, but it's also about businesses to recognize that they should be open to things like that, being creative. Because I can already see some business owners looking at security and how are we going to handle that. It's and they might say, and I've seen this inside companies, they lock down their security. Mm-hmm. And so they might not even want someone outside of their organization to have access to the systems. And so it's about the business owner also changing their mindset and being creative and putting people doing and having them spend their time in what they do best.
Oh, well, what they want to do and they do best.
What motivates them.
It's not just what they do best.
Well, true.
You know, Brenda, you did that spreadsheet for the Girl Scout cookie sale. That was, you just did a marvelous job there. You know, we really need, you know, for our club, we really need a treasurer. Would you come and be a treasurer? Right? And it's just like, they got your heart right there.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you say no? But the reality is, if that's the way we live, we wind up most of our time doing things that we're good at that we really don't want to do.
True, because you can learn any skill.
Well, yes.
But what do you enjoy doing on a daily basis? And usually what you enjoy, you're better at.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you got 50% of your motivation is lost if you're doing something that you don't really want to do.
Right. And sometimes we have to do things we don't like to do. That's a given.
Well, I want to challenge you.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, I like a challenge.
So I was with... group last week, and one of the women stood up and said, you know, I really got sick and tired of doing my laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that I could pay somebody to come in and do it.
Very true.
Right?
True.
So she didn't have to do that. You tell me, give me something that you just have to do.
Well, as a business owner, an entrepreneur, if you don't have a staff of hundreds of people, there's certain things you'll need to do.
Like?
Like I might have to do accounting.
Come on, that's the simplest in the world. Give me a softball here. I mean, goodness, having a virtual assistant that you can absolutely trust, use QuickBooks.
True, but you have to get everything together for that person.
Or you have to find somebody who will.
Well, that's true. You can.
Yes.
But how many people can you hire?
Well, if you're only taking a virtual assistant picture and you're not looking at hiring a full-time person,
mm-hmm.
you're moving away from the time and resources to results, right?
True.
So that, to me, is the huge shift that we're in the midst of right now. I never take my clothes to the laundry anymore because somebody introduced me to European cleaners. They come in, I call them, they come pick them up. 3 days later, I see them cleaned right there on my hook.
Oh, I'll have to write that down.
Absolutely. Now, just think about what it used to be. Oh, I got to take those clothes to the cleaners. Oh, right. Well, where's the bag? Oh, I'm walking out the car.
One more task.
With my hand
One
in
more
there,
project.
And then I got to drive down the cleaners. And since I know her really well, it's about 10 minutes of conversation, give a tour, drive away, and then forget for a week that I'm not going to have my coat because I didn't go pick it up. And now I got to squeeze that in. All right, that's just a small example of where we are today.
True.
And the more that we can see this fractional entrepreneurial opportunity, which is all around us. I mean, people will go pick up the food for you and bring it to you. I mean, Amazon will ship it to you. What is it that you can't delegate?
True. You can delegate almost anything. It's finding the right team.
Well,
it's finding the right team.
Absolutely. And are there people there who can help you find the right team?
Probably.
Yes. That's what I find so exciting about all of this is when we are really clear about the mindset where we put aside our projections, our prejudices and expectations, mm-hmm. and really open to possibilities. When we're clear about communication tools that we have, like DISC and other assessment tools, and we're really paying attention to how we feel inside, there is an enormous amount of things that we can get done.
That's true. I use Upworks, I use Fiverr, there's all kinds of tools out there.
Absolutely. Fiverr is an example. I mean, you don't have to hire those people.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't even have to fill out at the end of the year you fill out the 1099. You probably don't even have to fill that out for a Fiverr, right? It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I want to find a way for us to work together because I think it would be wonderful if I could bring what we call the visionary and the integrator from mm-hmm. my 16 companies together.
Yes.
All right. And by putting them in there, I would be putting in front of you 16 company prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And by drawing them together, I could give them the experience of working with you and also developing their emotional intelligence.
Which helps with your system.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see us doing that together?
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Well, all right.
It's a win-win.
Okay. Well, I have a training room that we can use, or we can find a place that would work, and that might be a lot of fun to do.
I love doing training and workshops, and they're all interactive.
Good.
Like I mentioned earlier, the DISC card game.
Mm-hmm.
That's something a lot of people don't know about.
Right.
And it's really fun. It gets people to really start thinking about, like, it's a key word.
Mm-hmm.
What word do you resonate with that describes you the most?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to see the different types of words we'll pick that are important to us.
Good. Well, I have my people together, those integrators and visionaries together every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone to various places for nice dinners and getting to know each other, but it might be fun to do something like this in an evening or figure out how much time that it would be good to use. But that would be a way of allowing them to grow.
Absolutely.
But also to see the possibilities for using this in their business.
Great. Yeah. All the areas, the three programs I mentioned, we can talk about the different approaches and depending on their needs and their mm-hmm. goals. And yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, anything else you want to tell people out there?
Well, I'd love them to learn more about DISC and these programs I'm speaking about to visit my website, which is at BrendaWilliamsA.com.
Guess BrendaWilliamsA.
Yeah, what do you think the A stands for?
Probably because you didn't get there quick enough to grab the URL, Brenda Williams.
No, it stands for A player.
Oh!
I love working with A players.
When I tell people that my website is willchris.com, they look at me and say, well, were you there when the internet started or something?
Yeah, that's lucky. That's lucky.
Good. Well, your telephone number is on the website?
714-283-1186.
One more time?
714-283-1186.
Excellent. Brenda, thanks for being here. We really enjoyed having you.
Thank you for inviting me.
So there we go. There is another opportunity for business leaders to thrive in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.